Well, brother just preached about household salvation right there, didn't he? What household salvation is, it don't mean you're saved because mama's saved. Doesn't mean you're saved because daddy's saved. It means you're saved because God saved you. Whether it's in a deer stand, in a pickup truck, a youth camp, or church service, you got to have a place where you met God and God changed your life. Amen. Thank God for salvation. Now, I'm probably going to do it a little more dignified than he did it, amen, but I'm going to preach. I'm a little more dignified. You see my dignified jacket tonight. I'm in real good. Brother Terrence done hit me real early. But what are you doing with that jacket on? I said, well, that's my wife bought me. He said, well, I understand now, amen. So this is my dignified jacket. Not good. Appreciate that, preacher. Acts chapter number 11. Wednesday night I preached too long. Last night, I kind of balanced that thing out. I told them, boys, you add those two together and divide them out. I'm preaching about 45 minutes of service. I'm on time now. First night, a little bit trying to get this thing kicked off. I'm sure I went over a little bit too much. And I don't want to wear you out, amen, over where you seat, amen, so you can't get nothing in your heart. But there's a lot of liberty in this place, and I thank the Lord for it. Get caught up in that liberty sometimes, maybe abuse it a little bit. I pray God's been speaking to your heart, though. That's my objective for being here. I'm not here to try to put on no show, try to please anybody here. Just want to please my Lord. I do appreciate you, Pastor, allowing me to come and preach in this meeting. I thank the Lord for it, amen. I thank the Lord for you as a church. I had the opportunity to preach here several times, and I thank the Lord for it. I thank God for your old pastor, amen. That paved the way for this thing to go on for the Lord. So I appreciate it, amen. And Acts chapter number 11, look in verse number 19. Acts chapter number 11, verse number 19. Do you know that God and godly people, not just any people, but godly people, are interested in you having a relationship with God? Now, I'm all about the church. God made me churchy when he saved me. I like the church, amen. I like God's people. I like God's word. I like the things that are associated with the Lord. But you know, you can be in church and have a King James Bible and not have a relationship with the Lord. Talk about that fellowship we talk about, that walk with God, amen. That's what we need in our lives. And that's what my desire is tonight, to give you a little bit on that walking with God that we all need. You know, the old saints of God, if you take this old King James Bible, you find out that people walk with God. Even from the beginning, the first man God made, Adam, he walked with God in the cool of the day. Testimonies of Enoch that he walked with God. Testimony of Noah that he walked with God. And you look at these men sometimes, and sometimes as especially young people, they look at these people in the Bible as just Bible characters that were way attainable for us. Their lives are too high for us to get. And some of you tonight look around at some of these saints of God in here. You look at these pastors that are here and these preachers and you say, man, they got a life. They got a walk with God. Man, I'd like to have that, but man, that's just too obtainable for me. That's not too obtainable for you. You know these men and women that you look up to like that, and thank God for godly people you can look up to that walk with God. But you know what they are? They just sinners saved by the good grace of God. You know what these people that you look at today and you know them as pastor and thank God for your pastor and sister so-and-so, the preacher's wife and a godly Sunday school teacher. You know where they were at one time? They were in your shoes and they just chose to give their hearts to the Lord and give their lives to God, and they are what they are today because of the walk with God that they have had in their lives. And the same thing God has done with them, he can do for you. They're not some superhero person, amen. They're just sinners saved by the grace of God. I think about your former pastor. What is he? Just an old bike rider is all he was. The good grace of God came by and saved his soul, made him the man that you look at today. Said, boy, I wish I could be like Brother Charlie. If you just do what Brother Charlie done, you can have what he's got, amen. It's obtainable for you, amen. If God take an old bike rider, an old poor person, old sinner, amen, on dope and alcohol and drugs, old religious person, God makes something out of them. God can make something out of you, amen. You just allow him to do it tonight, amen. Acts chapter number 11, look at verse number 19. The Bible said, now they. Pay attention to these words. If you don't have a Bible, draw up to somebody and look in one. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them, that's that they of verse 19, were men of Cyprus, Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Anybody know anybody better than Jesus?
Amen.
You know what they've been singing about tonight? They've been singing about Jesus. What we're going to preach about, we're going to preach about Jesus. Oh, none ever worked without him, amen. Bible said in verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Bible said, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem, you read the book of Acts, and you begin to study the history of the early church and the movement that God done in Jerusalem with those Jews and that thing. You know how that thing plays out as a Bible student from Jew to Gentile or from the children of Israel to the church age today. The Bible said that there was tidings that there was news that something was going on somewhere besides Jerusalem. It would be good tonight, like the old saying is in the Word of God, it'd be good if there was noise that God was in the house. That God was doing something, amen. You know what our problem is? You know why people are not hearing that God is in the house? Because we're leaving God's house. I use that word a little bit loosely sometimes, the meeting place. We leave the place where we come to worship the Lord or to meet with God. And instead of talking about what God done on Wednesday night or what God done on Thursday night or what God done on last Sunday or last Sunday night, we go home grumbling and complaining about something we didn't like that went on down there. Why do you go down there and tell somebody what Jesus had done, amen? Instead of going out there mumbling and complaining about what you don't like, won't you just fall in love with Jesus and find something that you do like, amen? Just help you out tonight. You look hard enough in a place like this, you're going to find a reason to grumble about something you don't like. What about just bragging on Jesus? Ain't he been too good for you to talk like that about the church and about God's people? But say, preacher, you don't know what they've done to me. What you done to Jesus? Well, you go running your mouth what somebody else is doing. Won't you think about how you've been treating God? Matter of fact, why don't you just think about what kind of testimony you're going to portray when people hear you talking like that? Ain't it amazing we live in an age of Christianity where we got to speak our mind. We got to tell everybody what we think. Won't you just tell somebody about Jesus? Won't you just brag on God a little bit, amen? Instead of telling everybody what you think about ought to be done. Bible said the tidings came from these things. Got it in Jerusalem, what? And they were down there bickering and fighting at Antioch. No, that God was doing something down there. Bible said, and they sent for Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Should go down there and find out what in the world's going on down there. By the way, it's a little outline right here if you wanted to preach it. There's these they and them in verses 19 and through 21. That's the men seeking. And then in verse 22 and 23, this is the man that was sent, Barnabas. And then in verse 25 through 26, you see the man that was sought. Barnabas went and sought for Paul. Do you know, by the way, I just throw this out. It ain't got nothing to do with the message tonight. It's in my scribbled on flyleaf of my Bible here. But you know, Barnabas goes to get Saul to go down to Antioch, and this great thing takes place that we'll preach on a little bit tonight. But you know that from Acts chapter number 9, when the apostle Paul got saved, till he was sent out over here to do a work with God, if you look at dates of somewhere between 6 or 7 years before he went down here and started this little work down here at Antioch and helped these people grow and become known as Christians in the world, he had sat on the sideline waiting for his time. You know what's wrong with some people? They ain't got enough time to wait on God to do something. We're just going to make something happen our own, amen. You just wait on God. When God wants you, God to come get you. He knows where you're at, amen. Bible said, let me get off that, amen. I ain't got a lot to be preaching a bunch of messages and running rabbits tonight. Bible said in verse 23, who when he had came, he went and got Barnabas, sent him down as far as Antioch. Bible said, when he had came, being Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they should cleave unto the Lord. Bible said about this man Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish for to seek Saul. You know, you look at that Barnabas, he's a good man, man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Amen. And he's excited about the things of God when he's seen. He was glad when he got down there. Ain't nothing wrong with being a little bit of right kind of emotions in your life and excited about the things of God. But you know what else about Barnabas? He was a humble man. I mean, he went down there sent by the those leaders at Jerusalem to go down there. And he went down to Antioch, seen that great work going on. And he said, you know what? This is more than I can handle. And he goes to seek Saul, which is Paul, and lets him be the main one in the picture here that God uses. And Barnabas just sits in the back seat, just being used of God. You know, humility will go a long way in our lives. Anyhow, verse 26, and when he had found him, being Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. It's a good place to assemble, ain't it? And taught much people. And the Bible says this, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Preacher Todd, would you pray for us, brother?
Lord, I thank you, dear God, again, from out of stock to be.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. God, help us as we do something. Amen. There is a word in this passage of Scripture here, and that word is Christians. I'm going to preach on that thought tonight, Christians. The Bible says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. When I think about the word Christian, which means to be Christ-like, they were called that because of their association with God. Think about another term that goes along with the word Christian is godliness. And if a Christian would be Christ-like, godliness would be God-like. Amen. And if Jesus Christ is God, to be godly is to be a Christian, amen. Amen. To be like God. Amen. Amen. Somebody said this, it's grace that makes us fit for heaven. It's godliness that makes us fit for earth. Do you know why a lot of people are not fit for this earth? Amen. I'm not saying you're not saved. We'll get on that a little bit. I'm sure a lot of you may be not saved tonight. But I'm talking to you that are blood washed tonight right now. Hey, you know what? It's the grace of God that saved you, that made you fit for heaven. But as far as this earth's concerned, you're just wasting up space, man. You're not getting anything done for God because there's no godliness in your life. Amen. Hey, how can I have godliness or how can I be Christ-like? You know, someone said keeping much company with God would produce a God-likeness in your life. Keeping much company with God would produce a God-likeness in your life. Hold your place here and just look for a moment. We got to loosen this thing up with some scripture. Look in Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4. Keeping much company with God. You know, whoever you hang out with is going to rub off on your life. You know what we need in our lives? We need more people that hangs out with God, amen. And if you hang out with God, it'll be known of you, amen. It'll be known of you. He says in Acts chapter number 4 and verse number 13, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that what? That they had what? That they had been with Jesus. Somebody took notice of these boys that they had been with Jesus, amen. Apparently, they must be acting like Jesus acted, amen. They must have been doing what Jesus would do, amen. Hey, godliness is a godlikeness, and you're not going to have godliness in your life if you don't spend time with God. Do you know what's wrong with a lot of you young people? You spend more time with the internet and your telephone than you do with God. and it's known of you because there's no godliness in your life. You can tell everybody how to Google something and how to break some code in some telephone, but you can't tell anybody how to get with God. Amen. You've not been spending time with the Lord. Hey, I wonder when the last time us so-called Christians tonight had us so godly the last time we picked up our Bible apart from church. Just ask. We're trying to have a youth revival, and I believe our youth get back to the book, it'll help their lives a whole lot. Amen. We've laid down that Bible right there and replaced it with the things of this whole world, and there's no wonder there's no godliness in our life. There's no wonder we can't find Christians in the world anymore. Where's your Christ-likeness at? Where's your godliness at in your life? We've been preaching on that thing a little bit on Sunday nights at our church, on those things you need to add to your faith, and one of them's godliness. I said add to your faith. You can't get it unless you first got God. You got to be born again before you become a Christian, amen. You got to be born again before you get a God-likeness in your life. You got to have a time in your life where God showed you you were a sinner. I don't care where it might have been. Like the brother said in the illustration he gave about his own family, there better be a time and a place in your life where God spoke to your heart and showed you your need for God, amen. Now, if God saved you and your blood washed, you ought to be a Christian. There'd be some godliness in your life. I mean, you can preach this thing later, but I'll just throw it out to you. There's 15 times the word godliness is mentioned in the Bible. I'm kind of interested tonight on being like God, aren't you? I wonder, how can I be more like Christ? Amen. How can I have a godliness in my life? How can I have a testimony that I know God? Would you know the word godliness is associated, first of all, with peace and honesty? 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 2. It's associated with peace and honesty. You know why we don't have many godly people in our lives? Listen to me right here. Look right here. You know why we don't have many godly people in our lives? Because there's no honesty in our lives. You know what some of you young people are doing? You're living a hypocritical life, amen. You got your little circle of friends that you allow in your little circle that knows everything that you do that has nothing to do with God. There's no honesty in your life. You know what godliness is associated with? I said it's associated with honesty in your life. You can have honesty in your life. You can have godliness in your life. If you're going to be godlike, you got to be honest. You know Jesus was honest. He's straight forth with his life. Amen. Hey, where's the honesty in our people of God today? Where's the sincerity in our life? No wonder there's no peace because there's no honesty. And because there's no honesty, there's no godliness in our lives. Not preaching about something that's too high to obtain. All you got to do is walk with God, amen, and godliness will be seen in your life. Hey, take notice that they've been with Jesus, amen. You know, all you can do is get around somebody long enough, you can tell who they've been hanging out with. Their speech bereath them, you know. You can tell by their talk, amen, by the way they carry themselves, whether they've been with God or been with the world. Godliness is associated with honesty and peace. Hey, godliness is associated with good works. You're going to have good works, amen, if you're going to be godly. And by your fruit you shall know them. Amen. It's not owned by what you do, amen. I'm not preaching work salvation. Jesus Christ worked the work of salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. God's the one that does the saving. I'm preaching about living godly in this whole world after God saved you. I'm talking about having a relationship with God and a walk with God that somebody can take notice that Sister So-and-so's been in her Bible, that Sister So-and-so's been praying, that Sister So-and-so's been walking with God, and it's beginning to show on their lives, amen. Is it showing on your life that you've been with Jesus, amen? Where's the godliness at in our lives? There's no good works. You know what godliness is associated with? Your behavior. We don't care how we act, amen. What's your behavior like? You're telling everybody your blood washed? I'm not saying you're not, but if you're going to be godly and be a Christian, there's going to have to be some good behavior in your life. Hey, godliness is associated with refusing things in your life. You got to say no to some stuff. You know what to help a lot of you young people now? If you just get a little bit of grit in your craw and say, no, I'm not looking at that with you. I'm not listening to you talk like that. I'm not associating my life in your little circle. I ain't got to be cool to be around you. And I'm not worried about being cool. I'm worried about having a walk with God in my life. I want to have peace in my life. I want to be like the brother said just a minute ago, have the best sleep in my life. Amen. My life's clean with God. God saved my soul. And I'm walking with him. That's where you get it at. Amen. Godliness is what we need. Hey, when's the last time you said no to the flesh? Oh, you're preaching a list of standards and legalization. I'm just preaching about being godly, amen. You look up the verses, amen. This is what is associated in the Word of God. Godliness. A God-likeness. It's associated with contentment. It's associated with a servant. Amen. You know what the problem is? Paul hit it real good about the last days in the Word of God. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 5, at the last days they'd have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Is God inside of here? If God's inside of here, why ain't he show it out in your life? Why is it a form? Anybody can go to church. Anybody can tote a King James Bible, you know. Anybody can dress up in a dress, put a tie on. That don't make you godly. Amen. It's a walk with God that makes you godly. The Bible says the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. When you come to this part of the scripture in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter number 11, you see that the Word of God is given to Christians, or the blood wash, I should say, an official place of worship. Amen. Antioch. Amen. Where you've got your King James Bible out of. Where this thing begins to shift over through the book of Acts into where we're laying at today. But you know what else is given to the people of God? The blood wash. They get their official name. That name is Christians, amen. So if you study the Word of God, Christians are blood washed. They're called many things. They're called believers. They're called the sons of God. They're called heirs and beloved and the friends of God, amen. But a Christian, a God likeness, amen. The word Christian has been very much abused in the day that we're living in. You ask people now, say, "Well, I'm a Christian." Well, do you really know what a Christian is? I'm just going to get it down here a little bit plainer. I'm having a little bit of trouble getting it out, amen. But, you know, you can be blood washed. That means to be have your hope in heaven. That means to me that you're not going to hell. God's moved into your heart, but you can still not be a Christian. I said you can be blood washed, but that don't mean you're a Christian. Blood wash made you fit for heaven and gave you escape from hell, amen. But Christian is living like God. Amen. You know what we need in our youth groups? We need more Christians. Amen. You know what we need in our churches? We need more Christians, amen. You know what we need more at mom and daddies? We need more mom and daddies that are Christians, amen. Not somebody just saved, not somebody got escaped from hell, not somebody's just going to heaven, but somebody's making an impact in this world, amen. They walk and talk with Jesus, amen. Christian. Do we have any Christians in the house tonight? I believe we can take the Word of God and find out whether we're one or not. The word Christian is found 3 times in your King James Bible. One of them is right here. We read it. And I say, number 1, a Christian is somebody that's sold out to the call of God. That's what a Christian is. There's a difference between being a Christian and being a blood-washed saint of God. It's a testimony. It's a godliness. It's a walk that we have. You know, we use that word testimony. We don't see many people with testimonies anymore. I mean, you look up the word testimony in your Bible, the first time it's mentioned is in Exodus chapter number 16 and verse number 34, and it's associated with something that's kept. A testimony is kept. It's something you've got to put forth effort to have. I'm not talking about being a witness for the Lord, amen. You see Barnabas over here and Saul, they were the leaders of this thing over here in Antioch. And they came down and began to preach the Word of God. It'd be good to have more Barnabases in our lives and more Sauls in our lives, amen. Hey, Barnabas, we've seen in the Word of God here, he was a good man. He was an excited man, amen. He was glad when he saw what was going on. When's the last time you got excited about the things of God? When's the last time somebody could look at you and say, "Well, that's a good boy right there. That's a good girl right there. That's a good mama right there. That's a good daddy right there. There's something about their lives that is good, amen." And good, that G-O-O-D, is associated with God, amen. Because God is in his life. Because he was a man full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, amen. He's a man that walked with God. This is what we need in our lives. If we're going to produce Christians in this whole world, if we're going to produce Christians in our youth groups, hey, we're going to have Christians that's going to lead them, amen. Maybe some of us going back to the leaders of our youth groups. We want our leaders, our youth to live for God and walk with God. Maybe if mom and daddy would be a witness to these kids, maybe we'd raise up some more Christians. Maybe if mom and daddy would be God-likeness in their lives and be like God, maybe the children would have some kind of pattern to follow. Somebody sold out to the Lord, amen. Somebody that walked with the Lord. You know, when it comes to having a testimony and becoming a Christian in this world, it's going to take time in your life. The Bible said in verse number 26, the Bible said, and when they had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. They assembled themselves with the church. You know what Christians do? They get around church. They get around churchy people. They get around the Word of God. For a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church. You know, if you're going to be a Christian in this world, it's going to take time in your life. For a whole year. You know, maybe we should ask the question, how long will you last? It's one thing making a profession of faith. Now, I'm not saying you're not saved. God saved you. God saved you. Amen. But I'm talking about being a Christian. I'm talking about something different in your life. You want to be good tonight? Be good this week at youth camp if we get some Christians out of the bunch. Amen. Like the preacher said, you go somewhere and say, is anybody getting saved? Anybody get born again? Boy, it'd be good if somebody get saved tonight. It'd be good if some of you get born again. But you know it'd be good if some of you that are born again, some of you that are blood washed, you get serious about the Lord and you become a Christian in your life. Because if you become a Christian in your life, you're going to reach out to people that don't know God and others are going to come to God if we just get something in our crawl, amen. Where's your God likeness at? Where's the time you've been spending with the Lord, amen? You know everybody on your favorite football team and your favorite basketball team. You know all their stats. You know all their names. Won't you know anything about God? Amen. We're getting people in our churches and they're getting blood washed and getting saved by the grace of God. And I'm not against any of that. Thank God for salvation. Thank God for heaven. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. Amen. I'm glad God saved my soul. But it's about time we get some people to grow up and get a stand in their life and become a Christian in this world. Amen. I'd like to see somebody maybe hit an altar and I say, you know, I'm tired of flip-flopping around in my life. God saved me 10 years ago or 3 years ago or last month. I've just been flipping around in church, wasting my life around. I'm just going to get serious with God and I'm giving God my all and get up and go live for Jesus. Amen. That's what we need. It's going to take some honesty in your life. As I told you, godliness is associated with honesty. You're going to have to come clean with God. You're going to have to come clean with yourself. It wouldn't hurt you to come clean with mom and daddy. It wouldn't hurt some of you to come clean with your friends that you're sitting with. Be good to hit an altar tonight about your lifestyle that's not right with God and God's not pleased with and plead the blood. Thank God he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin if we confess our sin. But then get up and look at your friend and say, I'm not living like that anymore. Where's the accountability anymore? Where's when we go, somebody's going to stand up and say, this is wrong. Don't worry about them. You worry about yourself, amen. Let them get a hold of God if they need to. How about you? You might need to get up and do something. Maybe you already know your life's a fake and there ain't nothing honest in your life. I'm not saying you're not born again. You can tell somebody where you were and how God saved you. But where's your walk with God at? Where's your honesty at? Where's your godliness at? Where's your Christ-likeness in your life? Well, it's going to take a little time to get that. Yeah, it'll take a little time to get that. You know, I said you look at these godly men around here tonight and these godly women around here tonight. You know what it took? It took time in their lives to get where they at. Not just go snap your finger and here it is going to be like that. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some time of continually saying no to the flesh and no to this world and no to your friends and yes to God and getting a God walk in your life. Amen. Where are the Christians at tonight? You can stand up and tell somebody, well, I was at youth camp and God saved me. And I'm glad I never discouraged that at all. Don't you take me wrong. I'm not trying to discourage you bragging on God, but God saved you. I'm glad he saved you. I'm glad God came into your life. But when you go start showing it to the world, you know what happened? Hey, when you get up and sing and when you get up and testify, it'll be more than just words flipping off your lip. There'll be a little bit of power behind it, amen. And we got people going through the motions. We got youth getting up here and singing and playing their instruments and other youths knowing they ain't doing stuff that's right. Amen. That's bringing a hindrance in the service. It's bringing a reproach on the name of God. Like we're just flipping around playing Jesus and playing church. Ain't no business time to be playing church. We ain't got time to be playing God. It's about time you get serious with the Lord. Amen. We're trying to have youth revival. It's the youth are getting serious with God. Amen. They're Christians. Amen. They're Christians. They spent time with the Lord. How much time are you going to spend with God? How much time do you spend in your Bible? How much time do you spend praying? How much time do you spend around godly people? Amen. How much time do you spend away from the things of this world and saying no to those things that you can get a walk with God in your life? Do you know everybody's called something? I mean, somebody looked at your life and they had to put a word on you, what would they say? You know, before Rahab met the Lord, the Bible said Rahab to what? Harlot. That's her word. That's what she is. There's that harlot. You know? That's all they are, is a harlot. There's old lepers right there. Don't filthy lepers is all they are. Till God came by. There's an old blind boy over there until God came by. There's an old woman that's had many a husbands, amen, over there at that well until God came by. I mean, if somebody throw one word on you, what would you say? Well, that's an adulteress right there. That's a whoremonger right there. That's a dope head right there. That's a liar right there. Amen. You can't take it. I don't trust them. As far as I can throw them, you got to watch them. They're shady. They're shady. They're undependable. Let me just throw a word. If somebody throw a word on you, what would they say you were? The Bible said they were called Christians. Somebody else laid the word on them. We like to lay the word on ourselves. Hey, I'm a Christian. That ain't how it works in the Bible. The Bible said they were called Christians. You know who was called Christians? The Bible said the disciples were called Christians. I mean, are you a disciple? I mean, if I'm going to be called a Christian, I got to be a disciple. The Bible said, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So what is a disciple? If we're going to get down to what a Christian is, a disciple's called a Christian. Well, what is a disciple? I mean, are you a disciple? Hey, look in your Bible with me, if you will. Look in Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11. A disciple? Are you real? Are you sincere? Are you fake? Are you putting on a show? Trying to please somebody and not please the Lord? Where are the sold out people of God at? Where are people that are in for God, hell or high water? Hey, some of you looking for the first train out of here. Some of you looking for the first train out of you. Hey, I'm not trying to be ugly tonight, but I heard some of you say it out of your mouth tonight. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly to you, but I'm telling you, you better wake up. Amen. I'm getting tired of what's going on around this church. You better keep that to yourself and get a hold of God. Amen. I mean, what are you going to do if you leave? Well, I just find me another church. Well, you think it's that easy? I don't like what's going on. Hey, get in line, man. I don't like what's going on all the time. Get in line. I don't like what goes on in my church all the time. But I'm going to go rub my mouth. I don't like that. I'm tired of that. Get all grumpy. Where's the God-likeness in your life? Amen. Where's Christ being seen in your life? Where they done Jesus wrong? You didn't think they'd do you wrong? They didn't roll out the red carpet for him. You think they're going to roll it out for you? You know what I found out? When people leave God's house, they get in a mess is what they do. But I know you're more spiritual than that. It won't happen to you. You know, you're fooling yourself. And I'm saying that in love. I'm just trying to warn you, amen. It's dangerous, amen. And some of you listening to some of that garbage and getting on the coattail of people like that, you know what that'll do? Let me just throw this out here. You know what that'll do? That'll bust this church right down the middle. That's what it'll do. I'm sorry, brother. I just got a pastor's heart. I'm about pastoring, you know. But I'm worried about people in the church that you might be like that in your church where you go. If you don't like something, keep your mouth shut and talk to Jesus about it. You know one thing I'd hate to be known as a church splitter? And some of you already got your little crowd together, and all you do is sit around and talk about what's going on. I know I'm meddling. It's okay. You need to be in your life meddling with a little bit. You know, preaching ought to speak to you, by the way. It ought to do something in your life. You don't want the preacher preaching about it. Don't do it. I mean, you don't want me to say nothing about it. Then don't let me hear you say nothing about it. Hey, you don't want me to deal with it in your life? Don't do it, amen. Don't get mad at me because I got to deal with it. You know, people get mad when somebody running their mouth about what I said. Why'd you say it? Somebody in my family's business. Well, why is your family not living right? Yeah. I mean, what'd you think we'd do? Just come down here and sing Kumbaya? Kumbaya? String the bass, string a fiddle, play the ivory, go home and just whistle Dixie? Our sweet home, Alabama? I mean, that's what you thought we'd do down here? No, we go to church down here, amen. We pound ourselves by this King James Bible. We don't just say we're King James Bible believers. We live the King James Bible. We practice the King James Bible because we want to be like God, amen. Some of you got a problem of being like God. It's showing that there's no godliness in your life. That's what it's showing. Your speech bereath you too. Don't be looking around. You know what you need to do? If you've been hearing them talk like that, won't you pray for them? And if you've been swaying by what they've been saying, why don't you repent? Because you're wrong too. Christians is what we're looking for. Oh, we're blood washed, preacher. We're going to heaven. I know you are. You're saved, right? Thank God for it. I'm all for it too, man. I'm all for not going to hell. That's why I ain't going. But what about living for God, man? Well, you're going to just go on to heaven and, you know, go home and be with Jesus and escape hell by the way you talk and the way you live and let a bunch of people behind you to hell? Because you wouldn't be a Christian? You ain't as sold out as you make yourself out to be. A disciple, right? Matthew 16, look in verse number 24. Then said Jesus, he said the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch, right? So if we're going to find out what a Christian is, we've got to find out what a disciple is. I mean, are you a Christian? So I don't know, preacher. Well, are you a disciple? You say, well, I don't know. Well, let's just see what a disciple is. We can narrow it down tonight, right? Process elimination. Look in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his what? He got some news for the disciples. His followers. Those that are following his training, listening to his word, obeying his command. He said, if what? Come on, help me out. If any man. You know what that means? It's attainable for all. It's just not attainable for the pastor. It's just not attainable for the Sunday school teacher. My Bible says, if any man. It's what he said to his disciples. If any man will what? 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 Let's look. If any man will come after me. Do you know what you got to have to be a disciple? First of all, real plain, you got to have a desire. You know what I found out? If you don't want it, you ain't going to do it. If you don't want it, we can't preach enough, spit enough, holler enough. We can't get rough enough. We can't get dignified enough. There's no way we can throw it out there. If you don't want it, you're not going to take it. Hey, some of you tonight, you care less about being a Christian. You don't want to go to hell. I'm glad you don't. You're going to heaven because God saved you. But you can care less about being God-like and being Christ-like in your life. When we going to go home, preacher? When we going to eat tonight? When we going to go play ball, amen? When we going to get along our little crowd and pass our little telephones around and send our dirty texts out and our face plant pictures and all that garbage that you do? You're so secretive about your stuff. Man, the more that technology goes, the more secretive it gets, and the more secretive it is, the more devilish it is. I mean, you said, what is it, the Snapchat you send that when they look at it, it goes away? Help me out. Why would you want to send something that has got to go away when somebody sees it? No accountability. No accountability. Why would you want one of those screens where nobody can see from this side? You got to be looking dead at it. Why don't anybody get my codes? Why are they going to steal your credit card, kids? They're not trying to get in your banking account. You ain't even got one. What do you got to hide? Well, secretive. You know, they made it that way so nobody can steal your bank account. You ain't got a bank account. Who you fooling, man? You know what you got? You got something wicked on there that mama and daddy and other people are not supposed to see. You know. Hey, yeah, I'm talking about the disciple, though. I'm meddling again, ain't I? Come on, brother. Come on. A disciple. He said, if any man will come after me. You know what it takes? A desire. You got a desire for God? A Christian has a desire to walk with God. Some of you ain't got a desire. You know what some of you need to do? You need to get on this altar. I'm talking to you to save. We'll talk to you to lost in a minute. And you that are saved and you ain't got a desire to walk with God and a desire to read your Bible and a desire to live right and live clean, I'd get on this altar until Jesus gave me a desire. I'd say, God, do something until something comes in and my life is no longer the same. Amen. If any man will come after me, where's your desire? Some of you wouldn't even be here if Mom and Daddy wouldn't have brought you. And I'm glad they brought you. Because you need to be brought. Somebody needs to preach to you. Somebody needs to tell you there's nothing, something not right in your life. Somebody needs to point you to Jesus how to get some help. But what if Mom and Daddy didn't come? Would you be here? If any man will come after me. Where's your desire at? A disciple has a desire for God. A disciple says, man, let's sing more about Jesus. Let's preach a little bit more about Jesus. Let's get around God's people. Hey, let's get in our Bible. There's a desire in their lives. Amen. A disciple has a desire, but number two, look, let him deny himself. A disciple has a desire, and a disciple, number two, has a self-denial or a denying of self. He denies himself. When he could, he says no. When there's opportunity, she says, not me. When everybody else is doing it, they say, I'm not doing it. They might go that way, but I'm not going that way. Hey, man, I'm not going to live that way. I'm not getting involved with that. There's a denial of self. When's the last time you told your flesh no? No wonder you're so miserable. You're catering to a flesh that is wicked and don't love God. And no wonder you're miserable. No wonder we got young people that's driving themselves crazy. They ain't got a walk with God. I believe a lot of our people in our churches, they're not the fact that they're not saved. They don't have a walk with God is their problem. You know, you listen to me, adults. You know when you're the happiest in your life? When you're living for Jesus. You know when there's joy in your soul? When you're walking with God, amen. You know when you're miserable? When you get away from God. And if you get away from God and you be miserable, no wonder your children are miserable. Why don't you know where they are emotionally? And the brother said, why don't you look at their life and say, there's something not right with my youngin'. You know kids are going to fuss and fight. That's what they do. My youngest fuss and fight. That's what they do. But you know, if there's a pattern of always like that, then maybe something's not right here. I mean, you live with somebody long enough, you're going to get in a disagreement. Somebody going to step on your toe or eat your Fritos or something, you know, and you're going to get mad. But why is it these kids are always at each other's throat? Why do they always have an attitude about everything you tell them to do? Why is it when you just say, hey, how about take out the trash, they pitch a fit? I'm not saying every kid likes to take out the trash, but I mean, all the time they got to act like that? You know what's wrong with them, amen? They're living in the stinking flesh. They got something wrong in their lives. They've been looking at something they ought not have been looking at. They've been listening to something they ought not have been listening. And those things come with a spirit. And they jump on their lives. And it shows out of the way they live. And we're not taking notice to it. Oh, they just being kids. No, they ain't just being kids. There's something devilish going on in their lives. There's no denial of self. You're not saying no to anything. You know what the Bible says? How can two walk together except they be what? You know that. You've been in church a long time. You can't walk together unless you be in agreement. You think you're going to walk with God and not agree with Him? There's a desire. There's a denial of self. Then He says, take up His cross and follow me. There's a dedication. Where's the dedication in your life? Where's the faithfulness just to stick it out, man? I mean, I was just talking to young people. Not some of you older people ain't got it. You've been in church 30 years and still have never become a Christian. You're a babe in Christ. We're having to teach you the first principles, which be of the oracles of God. You already have this stuff settled in your life. You ain't even got it settled. No wonder your youngins ain't got it settled. No wonder your youngins don't want to listen to the preacher. You're always running your mouth about him. I mean, you think your youngest are going to want to go to church and all you do is grumble about everything that's happening at church? Where's the accountability in our lives? Well, they ain't doing right. I didn't say they weren't doing right. But who give you? Who put you judge over it?
Right.
Who give you the authority to say that's the way it ought to be done? You don't think God sent you a preacher?
Amen.
You voted him in?
Amen.
You don't think God sent you here? You said he did when you joined.
Amen.
So if God sent you here and God sent the man of God here and just took the place of the old preacher, why, you got a problem?
Amen.
Did God mess up somewhere?
Amen.
God ain't messed up. You got in the flesh is what the problem is.
Amen.
Why is it that we love the man of God and these children to stand up and say, I love my church, and I'm glad y'all children's like, I love to hear that said. Man, I love my church. I love my preacher. Thank God for it, amen. If your mom and daddy's a bunch of hellions, they don't love the preaching in the church, don't you let it affect you. Pray for mom and daddy, they get a desire for God. But where's our love for the things of God at? Where's our dedication to stick it out? He said, take up his cross and follow me. There's a desire, there's a denial, and there's a dedication. Where's the dedication in our life? That's what a Christian does. He walks with God, man, hell or high water. Nobody ever said it was going to be easy. We preach some rosy life, amen, and just twinkling and just giggly and laughing and just smiling all the time. It comes with hardships. You know what a Christian does? He's a disciple. He takes up his cross and says, let's go. You know what would be good? Say, you know what? I don't understand it, but I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and keep plowing. If you don't like it, come see me at the church. If you don't like what I've said, come talk to me. I don't have a problem. But why you got a problem with it if I'm preaching you the book? Where's the Christians at? Nobody said you weren't saved. I said, where's the Christians at? Where's those disciples of the Lord? Do you know why we don't have many disciples? Because we got too much slothfulness. We got too many self-ambitions. I got my own thing planned out. Yeah, you do, but God ain't in it. Got my own self. You got a disciple of the Lord follows the Lord. Well, I know that's what it says, preacher, but. But what? Well, I know God ain't in it, but. You know what? Your self-ambitions will get in the way. A disciple of the Lord says, he's my leader, I'm following him, it's not about me. If you're not slothful and just sorry, and that's what a lot of people are, just slothful and sorry, lazy. I'm talking to God's people. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about the blood washed. I'm not talking about Christians, because Christians are not like that. Slothful, lazy. Well, that's a good testimony to have as a Christian, ain't you? Lazy. You got your own desires. You know why people are not Christians and not disciples? Because of suffering. It's too hard, too rough. Yeah, you know, we had a lady in our church. She looked at me and my wife one day when I first started pastoring the church. And she said this statement. I'll never forget it. I never have forgot it. I don't say I never will. I might lose my mind. So I can't say that. But she looked at us one day and she said, you know what? I can't make my children do right, because when I try to make my children do right and go to church, all I do is get hell at home. You know what she said? You know what she was saying? She was saying, I'm not going to try to get them to do right and have to put up with all that fussing and fighting. I don't want no hell in my home. You know what she's got now? She's got hell in her life. Because you didn't want no hell in your home. You didn't want to make that mama mad. You don't want to make that wife mad by saying, as a man, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And because you didn't want to have to listen to that woman nag and fuss all the time. Or maybe that you don't want to listen to that husband act like that. So I'm not going to make a stand. And I'm going to make my children live right and do right. Because all I'm going to do is listen to all their bickering and fussing and fighting. Hey, go ahead and give up then. That's what you think's going to help?
Amen.
You think giving up's going to help? You know what this lady's got now? She's got children. Just got babies out of wedlock. Well, you know why? Because she didn't want no hell in her home. She didn't want her children to go to church and do right. And now all she's got is hell, amen. Oh, she's got a husband out there, amen, far away from God. And don't want nothing to do with God. On dope and drugs. Why? Because they didn't want no hell in their lives.
Right. Yep.
Amen. Nobody ever said it's going to be easy. Take up your cross.
Amen.
Some grit in your life. God's been too good for you to give up.
Amen.
A Christian is a disciple. Got any Christians in the house? Got any Christians? Oh, there's more. There's more. Yeah, I just throw this one at you. I'm not going to preach this one. But in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 15 through 16, a Christian is somebody who suffers for Christ. You be tried in the fire, you know. Many of them been tried with physical fire. Burn at the stake. We can give you history on that, too. Some of you going through some spiritual fires. Do you know there's three boys over there, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They went through a physical fire, but it was a spiritual fire that was attacking them for not bowing down to the ways of the world. Do you know what those boys were willing to do? They were willing to suffer for the Lord. They were willing to speak up, you know, in verse 16 of Daniel 3. They were willing to stand up, Daniel 3:17, and they were willing to stay up, verse 18. It's one thing to speak up. It's another thing to stand up. It's another thing to stay up. That's what a Christian does. He speaks up. No, that ain't right. No, we're not doing that. A Christian, amen. You got any Christians in the house? Look with me in Acts chapter number 26. Are you getting it? Make any godliness in their lives? Anybody take knowledge that you've been with Jesus? Acts 26, third time the word Christian is mentioned. That second one is over there in 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse 15 and 16. Any man suffer as a Christian? Suffer as a Christian. Do you know, by the way, we might suffer here, but it's going to be a light affliction one day when we go home over there. A Christian is somebody that's sold out to God. A Christian is somebody that suffers for Christ. Number three, a Christian is something that sinners should be convicted to be. Convicted to be. Look in Acts 26, verse number 28. Paul preaching to Agrippa here. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be what? He said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. What caused Agrippa to feel that way? You know what caused him to feel that way? In verse 13 through 18, Paul gave his personal testimony. Can I just stop right there for just for a minute? Brother gave a testimony earlier about his own family. That's their personal testimony where they met God and God changed their lives. Could I ask you tonight, you got a personal testimony? Well, Mama told me I was saved when I was four. Well, Mama told you. Where were you at? Mama and Daddy told me where I was when I got birthed into this world as a baby. Because it wasn't my choice. And I had no knowledge of it. I just came in. Some of you probably think I still ain't got much knowledge about it. But when I got born again, when I got blood washed, Mama didn't have to tell me when I got saved. Daddy don't have to tell me when I got saved. It ain't Mom and Daddy's story, it's my story to tell. You got a story to tell? Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus and the Lord came by. He said, it wasn't nothing to do with my religion. I counted it as dung, man. I went to Jesus Christ, and God saved my soul. He said, I can take you to the place where I met God, and he changed my life. That's a personal testimony. That's what he's telling Agrippa right here. He said, son, I'm telling you what God done for me. It's real, man. It's real. I know God's in my soul. You know what some of you need tonight? You need to just get born again. You need your own testimony. Where were you at when God saved you? That old girl said, you know what, I was over there at the well waiting for a little bit of drink, you know, and the Lord showed up over there and asked me to give him something to drink. And I've been dropping down that old water all my life trying to find satisfaction, but he gave me living water on that day. He changed my life that day. I fell in love with a man that loved me more than the world, amen. Thank God for Jesus, amen. Zach, you said, I can take you over to the tree where I was, where I met God, amen. I climbed up and I heard he was coming by. Hey, man, I climbed up in an old sycamore tree. Hey, that's a place where he met God. That old blind boy said, I was bound on that street over there. That's where I was. Right over there around that corner. Right over there by that little store over there, that little market over there. And God came by, and God saved my soul. You know, I could take you to the place. As a 21-year-old boy, I can take you somewhere in there. couple of feet in the church. We done tore an office down where I got saved. I'm taking a few feet over there, brother. I was sitting in that office that day, and the man of God went through the great white throne judgment and talking about that old sack of death and talking about hell and the judgment of God. And the best I could, I wasn't raised in church. I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about Jesus. But I knew I didn't want to go to that place. And that God had died for me when he told me. And I cried out, and God saved my soul. I can tell you where it was. That's my story to tell, amen. As a 21-year-old boy, I thought I had the world by the tail on my way to hell. Came into church for the wrong reason. Thank God God showed up for the right reason. Yeah, I got a story to tell. You got one to tell? Where were you at when God, you met the Lord? He changed your life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, but all things become new. God's moved in. I mean, if we went around the building tonight and said, all right, everybody stand up one by one and tell us where you got saved. I don't remember the time. It was right at the church, so I can probably guess, you know, around maybe 12:30. You know, he'd preach as long as I do. If it had been me preaching, it'd probably be about 1 o'clock, but you know. So about 12:30. Back there. I don't even remember what day it was. I know it was Sunday because I was at church on Sunday, but I can't tell you whether it was, you know, June the 27th, the 26th. I don't really remember. I wish I could. I kind of go back sometimes because I wasn't raised in church. I didn't know how to, you know, to pin that thing down. Nobody took a Bible and wrote it in there and said, here's the date. I wish I knew the date. That'd be good. You know, I just, you know, I like stuff like that. But you know what? I don't know the date, but I know where I was and I know what God done. You know what some of you young people's problem is? Somebody stuck a Bible in your face and you went down here and chewing gum, made a little profession and wrote a date in there and they said, that's when you got saved. And the only thing you got is a Bible with a date in there and you couldn't tell anybody about what God done for you. But you got a date, though. June 25th, 1990. No, y'all ain't that old, are you? June 25th, 2010. And ain't nothing real in it, just a robotic date. God ain't real to you. He moved inside of you. I'm not trying to talk you out of it, man. I'm not trying to rewash you. I'm trying to retread you. But you better make sure your calling is an election sure. You better make sure you know God. Brother said tonight, raised in church, made a profession. He didn't know God. Nobody trying to talk you out of it tonight. You can't talk me out of mine. Go ahead and try, man. I can take you over there. Everybody here that's saved by the good grace of God, they know. They know. Everybody in the Bible that ever met God, they know where they were when they met him. You ain't got to conjure it up in your mind. Some of you trying to think it up. Well, you know how. You ain't got it. Well, I know when I joined the church and I know when I got baptized. Well, when'd you get born again? You know what Paul's over here preaching to that boy, Agrippa, and he's telling him what God done for him. You know what Agrippa realized? I ain't got nothing like that. Paul said, I was on the road to Damascus. He can take you right over there. It was. God showed up my life, changed me. I've never been the same since. And while Agrippa sitting there listening to him, he said, man, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He said, I ain't got nothing like that. I don't got one to tell. All I know is what somebody's always told me. Christened, that's good. Can't do nothing for you. Baptized? Oh, help yourself, man. I believe in baptism. It's biblical, it's right. After you're saved. I'm a member of a church. Man, everybody ought to be one of them. That don't make you saved. My mama's saved. My daddy's saved. My granddaddy's a preacher. So what? You ain't getting on their coattail. Agrippa said, I ain't got nothing like that. You know what Paul did? He said, well, I'll tell you how to do it. Look at this, Acts 26. Look in verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision, the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them at Damascus and Jerusalem. What'd you show them, Paul? And throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For this cause, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. You know what Paul went on today? Paul gave him his personal testimony. Paul preached Jesus to him. And Paul persuasively threw it at him. You know what he tried to do? He tried to set the hook. God said he'd make you fishers of men. Throw the fish. Throw the hook out there, man. Let them know how good it is. Hey, you know. Listen to me, children. Some of you got it all mixed up. You think Christianity's boring. It's the best thing ever happened to my life, man. Jesus Christ is the best thing that ever happened to my life. I told the preacher the other day, I tell our church all the time, they hear me say it all the time, I couldn't dream the life God's given me. I couldn't have dreamed how good a life God's given me. He said, preacher, it's been easy. No, it ain't always been easy, but I wasn't trading at all. God's the best thing ever happened to my life. Some of you young people think Christianity's boring. No, it's a good life, man. You know what, Paul threw the hook out there, man, and he got a little drip reeling that thing in like a fish. Y'all boys like the fish? And the bait got out there, and he said, man, this is how you do it. And then, you know what he said? I like this. Look at this right here, verse 26. For the king knoweth these things. You know what Paul said? You know what I'm talking about. He said, you've been raised in church. You know what I'm talking about. This ain't foreign to you. Most of you have been raised in church all your life. What a blessing, man. But you're gospel hardened. You know it here. Like the old saying is, most people miss heaven by 12 inches. Right there. You got it here, you ain't got it here. Paul said, Agrippa, you know I'm telling you the truth. You young people, look at me. You know I'm telling you the truth. All you got is what mom and daddy told you. You know I'm telling you the truth. There ain't nothing real in your heart. Some of you are saved. Your blood washed. You know I'm telling you the truth. You're miserable because you ain't living for God. You're fake and you got everybody fooled but God. God knows you're not walking with him. Look at this. Look at verse 27. He said, for thou knowest these things before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Look now. King Agrippa. Hey, young man, young lady, you listening to me? He said, King Agrippa, look, believest thou the prophets? He said, I know thou believest. I know you believe. He's persuasively throwing it at him. He's trying to set the hook in his life. You know what people want to see around tonight? They'd love to see you get saved. Hey, some of you, your pastor's got the big question mark on your life. When they think about your life, you know what the word is? It's this. I just don't know. I ain't sure. He's watching your life. It's just something gray there. I know thou believest. You know I'm telling you the truth. We're not lying to you. They're trying to make something up. He said, I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost. I know you're right, preacher, but hey, some of you tonight, saved people tonight, you know I'm telling you the truth. You're miserable. Your life's a fake. God knows it and you know it. You know it's the truth. But almost, preacher, you about got me tonight. I was about to come down this altar and tell God I'm sorry. I was about to go find my friend sitting next to me as soon as I got out of church and say, you know what, we've been doing wrong. Almost. Almost. Oh, you think it's going to be easy? Some of you here are lost. Almost you got me, preacher. But I know June 25th, 2010. Almost. Paul said, you know what Paul said? I like what he said. Hey, Paul said, I would to God that thou, not only thou, but all they that hear me this day were about both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bones. Amen. You know what we desire tonight? We desire you to be all together. Amen. All in for Jesus, man. You know what, some of you need to leave this youth rally this week, and you've laid it on the altar, and you're going back a different person the way you come. You need to take something back to your churches that you didn't come here with. Amen. Some of you need to come be saved tonight. Some of you need to come up here and stand up at this altar and let somebody take a Bible and guide you to Jesus. Won't you let them do it tonight? Some of you may be saved and got struggles with that thing. Come get your assurance. Whatever you need to do, amen, you need to do something with the Lord. You did our blood wash, you know you're saved. We can't talk you out of it. Well, why ain't you living for Jesus then? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you need to come.